Good day, listeners. Jonathan Darty here with a special bonus edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. Everyone has experienced various emotional and mental challenges over the last 3 years since the COVID-19 pandemic swept the globe. Many men have faced significant mental health struggles as a result. In today's bonus episode, our guest is Steve Delaney. He is a counselor in the Pacific Northwest and the director of Prodigals International, a nonprofit Christian ministry focused on helping men, women, and families find healing, hope, and redemption from the impact of sexual brokenness. Our conversation is focusing on all the effects of these mental health challenges men are facing today and what hope there is for better health and relationships. To learn more about Prodigals and their resources, visit prodigalsinternational.org. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org or check out links in today's show notes. And we'd love it if you would take a few minutes after the show to rate and review the podcast just to help others who are looking for this kind of material. Pure Sex Radio is produced by Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help men, women, and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. Now let's dive into today's special bonus conversation with Steve. Well, all right, Steve Delaney, how are you doing?
It's good to see you, Jonathan. It's been a while.
Glad to have you on the program. You know, we've known each other for a while. I think our paths crossed, I don't even remember how many years ago. It's been a long, long time.
Well, we've been doing the conference, we're going to talk about later. We're going to be doing the conference for about 10 years, Higher Ground Men's Conference up here in the Pacific Northwest. And so, yeah, I think it was before that. So, yeah, Be Broken's been a great supporter and really appreciate the work you guys do.
Yeah, I had a lot less gray hair than I do now the first time we met.
I don't recall the beard either. So that's the thing, right?
Yeah, I'm joking with people that this is my second half of life look. I'm just kind of going with,
looks,
you know,
good. I like it.
Low
I
maintenance.
Like it. You're looking good, mister.
I wanted to have you on here because you've been doing work for a long time in counseling and especially with men and families. And I'd love for you first to just let our listeners know a little bit about kind of your own history and how you've gotten into this work that you've been doing with men and counseling.
Pretty dramatic shift from my life, truthfully, you know, just to give the short version. I worked in high tech for, I don't know, 17 or 18 years. The last organization I was with was Microsoft. And I've been a marketing product manager, technical manager for a long time. And back in the, I got into my own personal recovery from sex porn addiction back in, oh my gosh, 2001, about 2001. And through that process, my own recovery was through Prodigals International. And that's the organization that I've been running since 2006. And that was, you know, quite a journey for me to go from being in that world, that high tech world, kind of the bubble up in the Pacific Northwest, you know, with Microsoft and lots and lots of companies, especially now up in the Pacific Northwest. But I ended up getting into recovery in 2001 through a 12-step program that Prodigals International I'm sure we'll be talking more about. But that just sort of, if you will, changed the trajectory of my life. I mean, it saved me, really. I mean, saved my marriage, saved my relationship with Christ. I became a Christian in 1986, but I'd always still had this distance between myself and God. There was always this wall in between the two of us. Sort of the journey with Prodigals is, you know, I went through the 12-step program, and as you know, 12-step programs. And ours is a faith-based 12-step sex addiction recovery program for men. You know, the 12-step doesn't end. It just keeps, you know, you're on that journey. And it really, for me, was a journey of, you know, of renewed faith or a reconciliation work that I did through that process. And God just started to lay on my heart a desire to do something other than work in high tech. It was a great run, but I really found that God was calling me to do something different. And because I was involved in the Prodigals ministry, it's called Homecoming, the men's program. Because I was involved in that, I started to feel this tug. And specifically, you know, Wild at Heart, John Eldridge, hadn't read that book in a long time. And in around 2005, I was doing a men's retreat with my local, my church. And I sort of was refreshing myself with that. And there, God just sort of laid on my heart this desire to do something different, to sort of go out on a limb, to take a risk. And he gave me this sense of, you know, that he wanted me to sort of start, you know, moving and supporting and helping the Prodigals International Ministry. And at the time, we were in, we had an interim director for the program, the executive director for the program. And but I also felt God calling me to become a counselor. And I was like, my undergrad's in business. What you want me to what? Yeah, you want me to become a counselor? Great. So I had to do a lot of prayer about that. I had to do a lot of heart preparation because, you know, that's not a small thing. At least in the state of Washington, where we're located, becoming a mental health counselor. And of course, my focus is as a Christian mental health counselor, working with Christian men. And I just felt this call to sort of do both. And in 2006, I took over the role of executive director of the ministry, which was founded in 2000. And began that work. And then in 2009, got through grad school, got my master's in counseling psychology, and then made that transition to integrating counseling and coaching in the context of our ministry. So we've got sort of part of my journey of recovery was God sort of changing a trajectory of, you know, I figured I'd be in high tech until I retired, and here I am. You know, we're in 2023 and, you know, it's just been a dramatic shift. And obviously my that impacted my wife and my kids and all that. Right. So there was a lot in that.
Yeah. And then obviously sometime into that, your time with Prodigals, you guys launched the Higher Ground Men's Conference. Yeah. Can you tell us what the history of that was and just kind of where that is even today? And we'll talk a little bit more about that because you've got one coming up in about a week.
We do. Yeah. On February 25th, the Higher Grounds Men's Conference. So the conference originated with a ministry that had a men's conference, completely different name, kind of a bit different focus, although sexual purity, sexual integrity, and that was an important part of that previous conference. And they didn't have the funding to keep moving on. And so they came to us and said, hey, would you consider taking it on? And we sort of, you know, obviously quite a bit of prayer and like, how do we, you know, we had done conferences specific to, you know, training our leaders and doing training for what we call mentor training in our 12-step program. But we'd never taken on a sort of a what I'd call a broader conference that is really about not only sexual integrity, but, you know, spiritual character, spiritual integrity. You know, that we came up with the name Higher Ground because we felt like there's a lot of men out there that, you know, they need something to give them, you know, that helps give them, you know, a sense of thriving in their Christian walk. And part of that is, you know, there's obviously a sexual integrity piece to it, but the conference itself kind of came together in 2000. So we took over and, you know, it took us about a year of preparation. And then we launched in, February of 2013. So 10 years. This is our 10th anniversary for the conference. And our goal at that time was to make sure we reached out to men who, I mean, there's so much shame, as you know. I mean, I'm sure that's a common theme for a lot of men that are Christian that struggle with sexual brokenness, sexual issues of sexual integrity and sexual purity. And I wanted to make it a conference that where men could come, and even if they were very fearful of those conversations, that they felt like those conversations were safe, that there was a place to have community, that they could think about accountability, that they could go back to their local church and have an opportunity to have those conversations and engage in those conversations. And that's always been a baseline theme for Higher Ground, is about community and what that represents. And you know, as we talk further about this, obviously the last 3 years have kind of created a lot of fracture in all of that.
Yeah.
This is going to be our first in-person conference on February 25th. This will be our first in-person conference, since the pandemic started. Our last conference is in February 2020, right before, literally weeks before.
Yeah. So one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on, Steve, is because obviously you've had a long history of dealing with men from a counseling perspective, also from like group perspective, and just helping guys recover from all kinds of sexual brokenness issues. Yeah. But I really wanted to have you on to talk specifically about the state of men and their mental health, and just maybe start by talking with us a little bit about what have you seen just over the last, let's say, 3 or 4 years, in terms of maybe some differences between how guys are, what's happening to men's mental health versus, let's say, 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah. You know, I've been at the conference, myself and Sam Louie is a counselor as well. We're going to be having a conversation on stage about this. But one of the things that I use the word, this is the word that the words that came to me, is there's, for men, especially, it depends on how you were impacted by that, everything that happened and what state you live in and all those things. Up here, things were very shut down. But there's like a system shock. And I think that, you know, for some, that was more severe than others, obviously. If it, you know, for some, they lost their job. They were out of work. You know, their vocation was impacted dramatically. Up here in the Pacific Northwest, tech workers, a lot of my clients are tech workers. And so they were suddenly thrust into this completely different way of sort of the routine, if you will. And that is one of the biggest impacts that I've seen is, you know, there's been isolation, which creates a lot of distance, get very disengaged, right? Up here in the Pacific Northwest, churches, you know, we can go to church in person, I mean, online for sure, but you didn't have the connection. You didn't have the community. You didn't have the rhythm. I mean, there's that rhythm of life, if you will, your rhythm in your work, your rhythm in your parenting, your rhythm in your relationship with your partner, your wife. And you didn't have those things were suddenly, you know, so dramatically different. And so many of the men that I work with, and even personally, you know, you were suddenly, you didn't know which end was up. You didn't know what was going to happen because this system change was very dramatic, and it affected our walk. I mean, it affected men's walks with their Lord, with the Lord, because they didn't have, you know, that guiding light or that rhythm, you know. And I think for a lot of men, rhythm is extremely important. When we talk about especially sexual purity and having a direction, a lot of it is about consistency, and because a lot of men that I work with that struggle with sexual brokenness and sexual addiction, that's one of the missing pieces. They don't have that in their lives. Suddenly the pandemic, kind of throws a grenade into the midst of all that. You start to see a lot of breakdown in relationships because marriages they're not ready for that, right? They're not ready to all be in the same place. The parenting dynamic that occurs, the whole online schooling issue. And I don't know how it affected you guys in Texas, but I saw a lot of relationships just starting to melt down.
Yeah. Let's talk about, there's two things that you mentioned that I'd love for us to explore from the mental health perspective. One is like, what are some of the effects on mental health when you have a disruption in your normal routine? And then the second thing I'd love to explore is what are some of the effects on mental health when you are outside of community? Like, in other words, when you're isolated, So those two things really popped up when you were saying that. So what are the effects that has on mental health?
So what I have experienced with and I work with the primary focus is men that struggle with some type of sexual issues, sexual purity, sexual brokenness, anxiety. Anxiety, you know, when anxiety comes into play and having anxiousness about your career, your work, your relationship, your children, your spiritual walk, the anxiety holds you hostage, right? There's a lot of stuckness that occurs in that, if that makes sense, right? That anxiety, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just like there's this energy in our body that just kind of holds us hostage. And it makes it difficult to make decisions. It makes it difficult to engage with others. And so a lot of the work that I have been doing the last few years is really helping men especially try to regulate what anxiety looks like for them, right? And because that has an impact on stress. It has an impact on just the physical, right? So many men had we were talking about routine. They had a routine of good self-care, right? Imagine what happens when you don't have good self-care. What happens from a physical standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint? And I would throw it around that anxiety, you know, from a mental health standpoint. I mean, and that's not that I don't want to call that people think, well, is that a mental health issue? A lot of people struggle with anxiety. I mean, that's one of the
actually, maybe you could help us. Yeah. Maybe you could help us by giving us a simple definition even of anxiety, because some people might be going, hey, there's a lot of different ways that people might interpret or even understand what you're talking about when you say that term anxiety.
Sure.
In kind of layman's terms, how would you help somebody to understand that term?
The words I would use for describing anxiety would be just this sense of not feeling whole, feeling partial, like what's a good way to describe it? Almost this sense of worry. Worry is probably a more relatable word, just worrying about things. In an inability to let go and be surrendered, an ability and what happens from a physical standpoint is it feels like almost like maybe shakiness, almost just like a sense of, unease. Just an unease, you know, just a disconnect from sort of that more sort of feeling centered, feeling. Yeah, I feel, you know, like when our walk's in a good place, we feel just this, okay, God's got me. I feel centered. You know, we've used words like centered or being present, being in his presence, right? Being peace, yes, relax. And there's just this sense that you're not. Your body is having this. You tend to worry more. You tend to fret. Rumination is a very common occurrence. And these, I think what happened in the, you know, when you sort of the dynamic of the pandemic is men who normally don't experience those things or had good self-care, because self-care is one of the most important things to help alleviate that, right? You know, good exercise plan, good quiet time with the Lord, good, you know, just good connecting with others. Boom, those things are, right? They're unsettled. There's just an unsettledness. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's it. For a lot of men, I think that was a surprise. They didn't have that, because you know there are individuals, you know, before the pandemic, they had a higher level of anxiety, and that's something that, you know, sometimes is treated with medications. That's not what I'm talking about, though. This is a different form of that uneasiness, just an uncertainty, the unknown that creates that anxiety.
What are some of the differences when you think about these circumstances that immediately took people out of their normal routine, it took them away from community? Were there any differences that you saw in maybe the effect on mental health based on particular personality types. We think about introverts versus extroverts and things like that. Did you see any differences in your practice about how this affected, let's say, the extrovert versus the introvert?
Yeah, what I saw is a lot of, because you take somebody like an extrovert who, you know, perhaps was in the workforce or had their, I'll call it community for lack of a better word, but they had they were used to working with a group of people. You know, if they're working in an office environment, they were very connected. There was the lunchroom, there were meetings, you know, and everything. And they thrive on it. They thrive on it. And then suddenly they're kind of thrust into this, right? we're on the screen time, and you don't get that connected piece. And I think what that did is it caused, I mean, I'd use maybe kind of a low, to some degree, a low level depression. Some aspect of despair, because, you know, something that you're used to, something that normal was taken away. And so I think it created a sense of just, again, that disconnect. That I wouldn't call it loneliness. I'd leave that more in the introvert category. I think introverts in general, they probably said, oh, this is great, right? It's great. I mean, I can work from home, or, you know, but I think then that creates, and especially when we're talking about sexual brokenness and sexual purity and issues around addiction, it makes it, you know, it makes it, oh, this is a, unfortunately creates that big disconnect, and that's where the isolation becomes problematic, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, I'm actually an introvert, and I thought it was great for about 2 weeks, and then even as an introvert, yeah. I was like, this is too much, too much isolation, too much solitude. You know, it was just regardless of your personality type, it's like, it's crushing when you can't be in community.
I'm in the same category. I'm introvert, you know, in general. And you're right. I long for something different. And, you know, and as a mental health counselor, everything moved to online, right? I mean, I was living on this online, working with people. And that, you know, and that disconnect was hard, right? Because normally they're sitting in my office, and you get a much different connection than this whole screen thing. Not that that didn't help some people. And I think there's good work in there. And even group work was, I was surprised that, you know, there was ability to create the support systems in the community, but you do lose that. You do lose something in the translation.
So let me ask you this question, Steve. What kind of impact did, you know, this isolation, the change of routine, what kind of impact, if any, did it have on men's sexual sin patterns? Did they stay the same? Did they go down? Did they go up? Like, what did you see, generally speaking, in your counseling, as far as how men responded through their sexual brokenness?
What I've seen is generally men that had, you know, and back to that, I use the word rhythm. Men that had that rhythm, they had a good, you know, they got involved in meetings, whatever those form of meetings might be. They had good community. They connected with other men. They had good coffee time with other guys. What the experience was, is even though, you know, you could do, you know, Zoom with your friends and things like that, or whatever it might be, there's still that disconnect created, you know, the space, unfortunately, for those behaviors to start bubbling up again. And if you think about the emotional toll that took, right, a lot of when I am working with men around sexual addiction, it is a replacement for emotions, right? It is a way to substitute. It is a form of medication. It's a replacement. And so those, you know, and I think about it from a clinical standpoint as well as a spiritual standpoint, the neural pathways start to light up again. And what happens, right? So even though you can take a meeting online, and you can try to create, it doesn't have the same. And so I don't, you know, to some degree, a lot of attrition right? A lot of our meetings went online, our 12-step meetings went online, but there's an incredible amount of attrition. A lot of guys just sort of slip into the, you know, the woodwork, so to speak. And then guys that I'd worked with for years, you know, were having their struggles and having their challenges with, you know, keeping their program current, keeping engaged with others, you know, following their, you know, when I say program, you know what I'm referring to, their programs stuff suffered. And we really had to do a redefinition of program. What does a program represent, and how do you define that program? Right? You had to sort of say, here's what are your personal boundaries around what it looks like to sit at home 8 hours a day if you're online, or maybe you're out of work, or you know if you're working in brick and mortar, what does that look like, and how, you know, how does that differ? So a lot of readjustment, a lot of, I hate the words, new normal, you know?
Yeah.
And that's true of recovery. That's true of recovery, unfortunately, is that the new normal has to be defined.
Yeah, one of the things that I was amazed at was within about a month of everything being shut down across the entire country, you saw anywhere from 100 to 300% increases in traffic on porn sites.
Right. There was
so a lot of this isolation was dangerous for so many guys that did not have their normal recovery routines or whatever. Yeah. They just fell way back into that. Have you seen a lot of that, guys, as they're trying to come through this season of quote unquote getting a new normal, where there were multiple relapses? And what does that do to mental health?
I think a lot of men got on autopilot, right? I mean, they just sort of fell back into some of those old routines. And what that does is it creates a lot of despair, right? If you think about addiction and you think about the cycle of addiction, and that's the framework that I work from, despair is a constant. And it gets confused with depression. So I think you have a lot of what I call both mild and, you know, to some degree, medium levels of depression that start to occur. A lot of just feeling of that loss, feeling of kind of, you know, I'll use the word hopelessness, just a sense of, well, is this it? Is this what it's going to be like? Especially when you start to combine that with relational dynamics with marriages, right? And I know you probably had a lot of these kind of conversations about the impact on marriage, mm-hmm. and the impact that that's had. And that kind of creates that, you know, people who don't normally struggle with depressive symptoms from a mental health perspective, we're starting to experience that, right? And where they normally had outlets for that, or they had ways to sort of, you know, take good care of themselves, they sort of got stuck. I mean, stuck's a big word in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Just being stuck.
Well, Steve, we've got a few minutes left, but what I would love for you to do is be able to share with guys, like, what – because I'm sure there's a lot of men that are listening to this that are going, okay, I can identify with the anxiety, with the despair. I can identify with, man, what you're talking about of a blown up routine or isolation and all this. Hope, like, what message of hope would you give to guys that maybe they're feeling all of these struggles with their mental health? And then where would you maybe want to send guys in terms of some resources that you guys have that would be able to help?
Yeah, I when I have clients that ask me that question, you know, I try to say, how do you create routine, right? And so a lot of times I'll spend time just helping them identify what are the elements of a good routine. Sometimes it's the simplest things, right? It's the simplest things like, what do you have a new exercise plan? Well, I can't go to the gym. Well, but there are ways to get out there and take good care of yourself. Because that can be some of the most important part of taking care of yourself, because it gives you clarity. It gives you, you know, a sense of, you know, your purpose. Obviously, time with God is intensely critical. And I think some of the during this time, when you get into that despair phase, it's hard. It's hard to just reach out to others. It's hard to just go, okay, I need to spend some time in prayer. I need to spend some time in the Word. I need to open the Scripture. And for a lot of guys, it's kind of like, well, is that going to help? I mean, I think they can intellectually believe it, but, you know, especially when you're in a sense of despair, hopelessness, and it feels like there's never ending. I mean, some of my clients, it feels like this is never going to end. Well, okay, then how do you accept that this new way of being requires that you think about your relationship with God and make that the pillar, you know, that becomes the focus. But part of it, a lot of it has to do with just sort of creating the new routine to get out of that stuck place. And part of that is engaging again in community. And thankfully, we're starting to see that. Up here, we're starting to see that. I think, you know, church attendance is still down significantly up here. But I don't know what it's like down in Texas. But, you know, we are starting to see that. I think you're starting to see people coming back. And I think we're starting to see an interest in, like, you know, men's work and men's recovery and men's groups and things like that. But yeah, those would be, I mean, some of those are, you know, you're like, of course, but a lot of times, you know, you got to kind of help guys through that process. And that's a lot of the work that, you know, that I've been doing is just trying to encourage them and give them that kind of, if you will, push, that nudge toward, you know, doing those things that you've done in the past and adjust it. I think adjustment's a big word. I think adjustment is a key word, actually, if I think about it, is, okay, you've got to adjust. And I'm feeling hope. I'm feeling glimpses of hope. I'm seeing men start to embrace that. A lot of my clients starting to, because I'm always bringing it to them. I'm always sort of bringing that forward in the work to help them process this, you know, get off the stuck place, get off the hopeless place, get off the, you know, woe is me, hold my head down, shoulders slumped, that whole belief about, well, this just feels like it's never going to end.
Right. Yeah. Where can our listeners go to learn more about you and your resources and the Higher Ground Conference?
Yeah. Well, prodigalsinternational.org. prodigalsinternational.org. That's our, so we have a program for men and for women, the 12-step program for sexual brokenness and addiction. We've been around for, you know, over 20 years, and it's a faith-based 12-step program. So based on sort of the foundations of Alcoholics Anonymous, but for us, the important journey is part of faith. It's part of that rejuvenation of your faith in the 12-step walk. And it is a walk, and there's not a destination. It's not go through a program and you're fixed. We feel like there's a journey, and that's part of what 12-step. We also have support for partners as well, of guys who struggle. So we have a partners program that's called Partners in Process. And then we have two conferences, the Higher Ground Men's Conference, which is coming up on February 25th. And there's a live stream of that. I know you're national, you know, national broadcast. So we, there's a highergroundmen.com is our website. And there's an option for a live stream broadcast if they want to participate in that in person, if they live in the Pacific Northwest. It's at Westminster Chapel in Bellevue, Washington. And then in March, we have our women's conference called Restoring Hearts. And that's, again, for partners of guys that struggle with sexual brokenness and sexual compulsion and addiction issues. And that Restoring Hearts conference is 1 month later. It's on the 25th of March. And that's also in Bellevue, Washington at Westminster Chapel.
And will so, that have a live stream as well? Or
that will have a live stream as well, yeah.
Okay,
and,
cool.
Awesome. Great speakers lined up for that. But yeah, that is restoringhearts.org.
Okay. Well, Steve, thanks for this this conversation. I think it's going to be helpful to a lot of guys, and we appreciate all the work that you're doing. So thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you for having me and appreciate the time. And I appreciate your support, Jonathan. It's always been, you've been a blessing to my life and the lives of many of the men up here in the Pacific Northwest.
I appreciate that. Well, listeners, we're going to put all those details in the show notes so that you can get to Prodigals International as well as those conferences for men and wives. And we're so glad that you've been with us. We want to help you take whatever your next best step needs to be on your journey. So please reach out to us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.